And that's the title of today's sermon. He hasn't yet, but he will. He hasn't. That needs to be our mindset whenever God has spoken a word over us and it hasn't come to pass.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Heavenly Father, holy is your name. Again, it's an honor to be in your presence, to give you praise, to worship your holy name. Lord, and we are here expecting much. We are here because we know who you are. We know where you are and we know what you do. So Lord, we're here to worship you and we are here to hear from you. So God, we just ask that you would continue to speak, that you would bring your word to life today in this place. Lord, that we would hear directly from the throne of Almighty God. And Lord, just open our hearts, our ears, that we would change and that we would not leave here the same. And we thank you in the almighty name of Jesus. Amen. Before we get into the message, I am glad that I'm up here today. And Lisa and I would like to thank everyone for the kind and generous pastor appreciation gifts. It was, as always, too much and so kind. I see that Pastor Jerry and Laura didn't even come to thank you. Just take that under consideration. Sorry, Pastor. No, just thank you all so, so very much. So, you know, he asked me to preach, so he knows what he's going to get. I want to tell you guys a couple stories today. The first one, I was a very young man, somewhere, I think, around the age of 13 or 14. This would be around 1990, 1991. If any of you good at math, you can figure out how old I am. But I was at church. We went to an Assemblies of God church in Elkins, West Virginia. And there was an evangelist that came in. I don't remember his name. I don't remember what he looked like. I don't remember anything about him. But he spoke a word over me that after I left church that night, I never thought about. I didn't think about again for many years. But I remember he spoke over me, and I want to say I was somewhere between 13 and 15, and he said, God has shown me you ministering and preaching. And you're surrounded by a group of young black children. That really shocked Rhonda. Rhonda, it shocked me too. Because at this time in Elkins, there were only a few black families. And I thought, well, they're all going to have some kids and bring them over, you know, for this prophecy to come true. And I thought, I told my mom, I said, well, I said he was doing okay. I said, but I think he reached a little bit on that one. In 2007, the year that I turned 30, so probably 15, 16 years later, I went on a mission trip to Haiti. And there's a picture out there on one of those boards, and I'm in it, and I'm praying, and I have all these beautiful faces around me, and I am the only white person in these pictures. But the Lord said, today that prophecy has been fulfilled. And I was like, wow. And it took 15, 16, 17, I forgot about it, but God didn't forget about it. God fulfilled that word. And I tell you, I didn't think about it for 15 plus years, but he reminded me. He said, I spoke that over you. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 are very popular scriptures that we've heard and read many times. But it's really some of my favorite verses. Because I like to figure things out. I like to know things. I like to plan. I like to have it all figured out. Well, the Lord says, through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55 verse 8, he says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. Your ways, not my way, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So what he's telling us is, he knows better than us. I need to know that. He doesn't tell us that we need to understand each and every second of every single day what he's doing. But each and every second, we need to trust him, have faith in him, and obey him. He does not explain to us his plans, nor does he need to, because his ways and thoughts are perfect. Right? So when he spoke that over me, I was like, sure. And he was like, yes, sure. He was right. Numbers 23, verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? What he's saying here is, he doesn't lie. If he says it, it will happen. It will happen. It's over. As soon as he says it, it will happen. Amen. It might happen immediately, and it might happen 15 years later. But when he says it, it is done. And I love that. That's a matter of fact. It will happen. Just like what was spoken over me happened. If he's spoken anything over you, it will come to place. It will happen. It will be fulfilled. He is not a man that he should lie. Now let's jump over to the book of Ezekiel, and I'm going to show you a few verses just to make sure that we're all on the same page. Ezekiel chapter 12, right after the book of Lamentations. And we're going to stay here for just a minute. But Ezekiel 12 verse 25, he says, "For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass." That's not up for debate. I am the Lord, I will speak, and it shall come to pass. He says, "It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God." But I want you to focus on that first part. I will speak it, and it will happen. There's no conditions, there's no... unless there's a fact. If I speak it, it will happen. Ezekiel 21. I really have been enjoying the book of Ezekiel. I'm telling you. Verse 32. He says, "Thou shalt be for fuel to the fire. Thy blood shall be in the midst of the land. Thou shalt be no more remembered." And why is that? "For I, the Lord, have spoken it." Ezekiel 24, verse 14. You can go back and read all these chapters and find out exactly what he was talking about, but what I'm telling you is that what he says will happen. And that's what he says repeatedly. Ezekiel 24, verse 14. "I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass. I will do it." He says, I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent, according to your way and according to your doings, and they shall judge thee, saith the Lord God. But he says again, I've spoken it, it's gonna happen. We don't have to wonder if God's word will come to pass. If it's a promise for you, if it's in this book, it will happen because he spoke it and he is unstoppable. Amen. Ezekiel 26. Verse 5, he says, "It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God, and it shall become a spoil to the nations." Same chapter, verse 14, "I will make you like the top of a rock, thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon, thou shalt be built no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord." Do you think God means what he says? When he says it, will it happen? Yes. And some of my favorite things are when he says it and it happens immediately. We look through the Bible and God says things and they happen immediately. When he called for Lazarus, Lazarus didn't get back with him. Lazarus got up, right? When he talked to the leper and he said, "You're healed," he was healed. When he told the blind man to see, he saw. When he told the lame man to get up and take up his bed, he got up and took up his walk, his bed. Oftentimes they happen immediately. But then there's other times that I'm not as big a fan of. And they take a little bit of time to come. So what is the mindset we have when we're waiting on the Lord? What is the mindset? Do we have doubt? Do we start to question what we heard? Do we start to question if it's going to happen? Or do we believe and know that because he said it, it will happen? So I want to tell you another story and then we'll get into this. When Pastor Jerry was on his sabbatical and I was blessed to preach those 9 weeks, I went to Kathy. The Lord said, "Ask Kathy if she has a word." And I went to Kathy and I said, "Kathy, the Lord has told me to come to you. If you want to preach or speak any of these 9 weeks, do you have a word?" She goes, "Mm-mm." Well, this was 9 weeks and I saw Kathy multiple times. So when I would see Kathy, I'd be like, "How about mm-mm?" Great. Kathy was being obedient. The Lord did not give her the word at that time. But I asked her probably 9 weeks. So a couple weeks ago, I found out that Kathy was going to get an opportunity to speak in the near future. So I walked up to her after church last week. As you all know, I'm very serious at all times. And I said to Kathy, I said, "You know," I said, "you didn't have a word during those 9 weeks." I said, "But it sounds to me like you're going to have one pretty soon." She said, "Well, I don't have it yet, but I will." Then I said, "Amen." She said, "He hasn't given it to me yet, but he will." So immediately the Lord gave Pastor Jerry COVID, right? No, that is not what happened. But the Lord was aware that Pastor Jerry was not going to be here this week and I was going to get to speak. So Rick called me on Wednesday, and I always love it when Rick calls me because Rick's very uplifting and just a joy to talk to. And he calls me on the phone, and I'm sitting at work, and I pick up, and I said, "Hello, Brother Rick." And he said, "Hello, Brother Aaron." He said, "I just want to let you know," he said, "I'm getting ready to send out a prayer request for Pastor Jerry, but he has COVID." And I said, "Oh, my, I will pray for him." He said, "He's very sick. He's in bed. He's not up to calling. We're talking right now." And I was like, "Absolutely, I will be praying for him." And he said, "Well," he said, "you available Sunday?" It's like, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I hope the Lord's been speaking to you." And I said, "He hasn't yet, but he will." And that's the title of today's sermon. He hasn't yet, but he will. He hasn't. That needs to be our mindset whenever God has spoken a word over us and it hasn't come to pass. Has he done it? He hasn't yet, but he will. It should never be, "Well, I don't know what's going on." He hasn't yet, but he will. Sometimes we have to wait, but as we've seen, God's word always, every single time, will come to pass. So no, he hadn't spoke to me yet, but I knew he was going to. And he said, "That's what you're going to speak on, and that's the heart that I want my church and my followers to have. When I tell them something, to grab onto it, hold onto it, and not be swayed either way, and know that if it hasn't happened, it hasn't happened yet, but it will." Because that's who he is. And I want to look at some people that had to wait for God's word to come true. And we have five short little things we're going to touch on. But I want to start in Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 1. And it says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram," not yet Abraham, but he said, "Abram," he said, "get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And he said, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great and you will be a blessing." And he goes on, and he says, "I'll bless them that bless you. I will curse him that curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 75. So the Lord told him he was going to make him a great nation. So Abram's like, okay, before I'm 76, this should all be wrapped up, right? Like, here we go. 75 years old, God made a promise to Abram. Did it happen the next day? Does it say, and then immediately this came to pass? No, it does not. Let's go over to Genesis 17. A few years have passed between Genesis 12 and Genesis 17. So many years have passed that in Genesis 16, Sarah, Abram's wife, comes to him and says, hey, I'm not going to be able to have a child. So take my handmaid Hagar and have a child. So Abram goes in and he does that, and he has a child with Hagar that is Ishmael, right? So in Genesis 17, verse 1, the Lord comes to Abraham, to Abram still, and Abram was 99 years old. It had been 24 years since Genesis 12, since he told him that, 24 years. But it says the Lord appeared to him, and he said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And he said, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. See, in chapter 16, Abram had taken it on himself to start this process, because he thought maybe that he needed to do a little something extra. God didn't tell him to do that. God still was waiting for his time, because whose time is perfect? It's not ours, right? So he told him, and he said, I'll make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, he said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be a father of many nations. Neither will your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto you and to thy seed after you. And I will give unto you and to your seed after you the land wherein you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Jump down to verse 18. Now Abraham has already had a son, and the Lord has said, I'm going to make my covenant with you and Sarah. So Abraham said unto God, he said, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, Sarah, your wife's going to bear you a son indeed, and you will call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now God does say, and as for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But look at verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, who has yet to be born, which Sarah shall bear unto you at this set time in the next year. Turn over to chapter 21. Verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. 100. So for all of you that are good at math, how long has it been since the Lord told Abram what he was going to do in Genesis 12? 25 years. You know how many months that is? 300. You know how many days that is? 9,125 days before he had his son. 9,125 days. That's a long time. But guess what? It happened. Because God said it. We don't always get instant gratification. We wait and trust in him. 300 months. And then, as we just read, he was going to give them all a Canaan. Did that happen right after he had Isaac? No. So he waited 25 years. Then Isaac was 60 when he had Jacob. That's 85 years. Then Jacob was 130 when he went down to Egypt. And then how long were they in bondage in Egypt? 400 years. And then after that, how many years did they wander around the wilderness? 40 more. Hundreds. 600 and some years, a long time. But guess what? It came to pass. Because God said it. He's not going to do it in our time. Remember the first verse we read in Isaiah? His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. They're higher. They're better. They're perfect. They're holy. He will do what He says. You don't necessarily get to see it. But He'll do it. Know it and don't let go of it. Abraham didn't get to see them go into Canaan. But did it happen? Yes. Did his seed go in? Is exactly what God said. 9,125 days Abraham waited. How many of you are willing to wait that long? It's 25 years. Let's look at someone else that got to wait. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. In 1 Samuel 16, Saul has sinned as he is the king of Israel at this time. He has sinned, and the Lord is going to have to replace him. And the Lord said unto Samuel, He said, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Jump down to verse 10. Jesse has had his seven oldest, biggest sons pass by in front of Samuel. Samuel said, well, the Lord hasn't chosen any of these. And Samuel said to Jesse, is this it? Are these all your children? And he said, I mean, there remains the youngest. I mean, he's keeping the sheep. Samuel said, well, get him. He said, I'm not going to sit down till he comes. The Lord has told me what I'm to do. And he stands there and they wait, right? Verse 12. Now he sat and he brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance. And he was goodly to look on. And the Lord said, arise. Anoint him, for this is he. Samuel took the horn of oil. He anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and he left. Did David get to go sit on the throne? Because, I mean, he just got anointed to be king. Did he get to go the next day? But, I mean, he's the king. He's been anointed. God has called him, right? He's a young man. He's not even old enough to fight for the armies. He's old enough to watch the sheep. So we know he's 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. He's a young man. He's not in his 20s. He can't go to war, but he is old enough to have some responsibility. So he's been anointed. And what's he get to do then? Does he get to go and be king? No, he gets to go back to the flock. It will happen. It's just not right this second. He hasn't yet, but he will. So David later gets to go, and he gets to go to where his brothers are and take them food because he's not old enough to fight. And so many things go on with David before he gets to see the fulfillment of this. But let's jump over to 2 Samuel chapter 5. See, God said it was going to happen. So guess what? It did. 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 3. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all of Israel and Judah. So we know that he was somewhere in his teens, young, and he had to wait till he was 30. But guess what? Did it come to pass? Of course it did. It always will. So whatever your promise is from whatever age you were, don't let go of it. It's going to happen. God is not a man that he should lie. Let's look at some more people that had to wait a minute. Let's go into the New Testament, Acts chapter 1. Jesus has been resurrected. He's gone to Calvary. He's died on the cross. He rose on the third day. And that's where this starts. In verse 2, it says, until the day in which he, Jesus, was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not leave Jerusalem, but wait. We are good waiters, right? We love to wait. He said, wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Jump down to verse 8. And he says, you will receive power after that, that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you're going to be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, maybe even Haiti. And in verse 9 it says, when he had spoken these things, while they were standing there beholding him, he was taken up. He was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight. And they stand there, and while they were looking steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And they said, you men of Galilee, why are you standing here, gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up for you into heaven, he shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. He's going to come back in the clouds, church. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which was from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where they abode, both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James. And there these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and we're not going to look at what he said, but look, it says the number of names together were about 120. And they went into this upper room and they waited. How long did they wait? Some scholars say that it was 10 days. They say, I read that it was 50 days after the resurrection and 10 days after the ascension. But you know how long they waited? They waited as long as it took. They weren't going to go anywhere. Jesus commanded them to stay. He said, go and stay. He didn't say, go and stay there for 10 days. Go and stay there for 11 days. Go and stay there for 4. He said, go and wait. So if he tells you to go and wait, just wait. It doesn't matter how long. That's where you're supposed to be until he does what he's going to do. He said, wait. And in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They went and they waited till God's promise was fulfilled. Will you do the same? He hasn't yet, but he will. Go where he tells you to go and wait as long as it takes. Two more, and we're done. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul. And we'll start in verse 7. He says, unless that I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. God had shared so much with him. He had shared so much with Paul. He met him. He met him on his horse. He took him and he just gave him so much. And so that Paul wouldn't become, think too much of himself, he says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, for this thing I asked the Lord three times. Thrice, he said, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, I'll take it then if God's power doesn't leave me. He said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See, the same Apostle Paul is the one that when he prayed over people, they were healed immediately. God gave him power to heal, but he wouldn't heal him. He said, no, my grace is enough. So was Paul never going to get healed? Because God is our healer, right? Was Paul never going to get healed? Well, of course not. Paul's healed. Paul's healed. Paul said in Romans 8:18, I'll just ask Rick to throw it up there. It says, Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, they aren't even worthy to be compared with the glory which is going to be revealed in us. He said, whatever happens in this short time on earth, whatever I have to go through, it doesn't compare to eternity with Jesus. Amen. It's this long. It's nothing. It's a vapor. Eternity is all time. We can't even imagine. He said, it doesn't worth comparing it. Because you know what Revelation 21:4 says? It says God will wipe away all of the tears from their eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For all the other stuff's passed away. The Apostle Paul is healed. He just had to wait until it was time. God chose to heal him later. But he's healed. We'll all be healed. And no, I don't want to wait for an answered prayer until I die. But I'm willing to serve God. Are you? Yeah, no, that's not ideal. But if it's God's will, remember his thoughts. They're not ours. They're higher. They're perfect. So no, I don't want any of you. I want you all to be healed now. But I want God's will to be done. I always pray and believe because he can heal immediately. But sometimes we have to wait. But make no mistake, you'd rather be healed for eternity than a short time on this earth. And I want to close in Matthew with Jesus, in Matthew 24. And I'm not going to read all 51 verses of this. I'm only going to read 50. I'm not even going to read 50. You guys will be super proud. Matthew 24, verse 1. Jesus went out and he departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? He said, verily I say unto you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. And they said, tell us, when? When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And I encourage you to read all of this. But Jesus answered and said to them in verse 4, he said, take heed, you need to know this, that no man deceive you. He said, many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and they shall deceive many. He said, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you be not troubled. Church, we can watch the news and see what's going on, but we're not to be troubled. Jesus is victorious. He said, don't be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. He says, nations will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine, pestilence, earthquakes in different places. And he said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then he goes on to tell them some of the things that's going to happen to the believer. But jump down to verse 14, and he says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. His word will be preached everywhere to everyone. We'll get an opportunity to accept him. In verse 29, he goes on and he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And he says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He'll send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And he says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and he putteth forth leaves, you know that summer's coming. He says, so likewise, when you will see all the things that I just told you, know that it is near. It's even at the doors. But he says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then, he said, two will be in a field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. So he says, watch! Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye ready, for in such an hour that you think not, the Son of Man comes. Has he come yet? No, he hasn't, but he will. Just like every other word that he speaks, if it hasn't happened yet, it will. Church, be ready. Be watching. Know that it is coming. Whether it's today, tomorrow, or in 200 years, it doesn't matter. Our commandment, as it was for the disciples, is to watch and know that it hasn't happened yet, but it will. Hold on to the promises that he's given you. Hold on to his word and know that if he said it, it is done. It will happen. It will come to pass. He cannot be stopped. He is Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you that you're faithful and true, that you are Almighty, that you are all-knowing, that you don't let us make decisions that will hurt us by doing things out of your time, but that you do things for us in the time that is perfect for us. God, let us submit to your rule and your reign. Let us submit that you are king and let us follow you blindly, not needing to know why or when, but just knowing that you are right and that you are holy and that you only have the best for us. God, use us and show us that whatever promises you've given us, whether we were young or whether we've forgotten, remind us and let us know that they will come to pass. I just feel right now, with every head bowed in here, is there anyone in here that's been waiting, that's been waiting on a promise from God? If so, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you right now. If you're waiting on a promise from God that you know He told you, you have no doubt. He sees your hands. He sees your heart. Father God, I ask that you strengthen these that you've promised to. I ask that you remind them of the second and the moment when you told them and that it would become so real to them, Lord, that it will come to pass. That it hasn't come to pass yet, but it will happen because you are God. You are Almighty. And that whatever you say happens, whatever you promise, it will be fulfilled. Whether it was a prophecy, whether it was something in our heart, whether it was from your scriptures, if you said it, it will happen. Lord, I ask you strengthen them and that you remind them that you are on the throne and that that promise is still for them today. Father God, we worship you in this place and we love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to me and through me.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.